Hey, this is Steve, and we are woefully behind on our podcast episodes. Somehow during the quarantine, several things have fallen through the cracks, and this podcast is one of them. And I'm very sorry. So I'm going back myself to make sure that they're all edited and uploaded so that these can be a blessing and a resource to you. This particular episode is really important because this is Easter Sunday. We had been planning this service for months, and we couldn't pull it off on the field like we had hoped. But we were able to stream it live from our auditorium. You can watch that on our website if you want, but I wanted to make sure it was available for our podcast subscribers because this podcast is about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus no matter what you're going through today. And man, is our world going through it. We're on quarantine week 8 or 9 at this point. We have economic, social, political disaster all around us. We're all kind of hiding out because death seems to be all around us also. We're trying to keep from catching the COVIDs. Everyone is, but scripture says the news is worse than you think. Yet death is prevalent and it's much closer than you may realize. But there is a way out. There's a way to overcome. There's a path to victory for you. Jesus makes it possible, and that's what Easter is all about. And I'm so glad you would join us today for this Easter celebration. We are celebrating the fact that Jesus has risen from the grave. And it's a great time for us to be celebrating this news because this news is good news among a lot of bad news. I mean, we've had a lot of bad news recently, haven't we? And I'm kind of sick and tired of the bad news. Aren't you sick and tired of the bad news? There's just been so much of it nonstop lately. But I think that we should take a minute to admit to ourselves that there is bad news. Like, Steve, this is church. It's Easter. Shouldn't be talking about the bad news at Easter time. But I think we owe it to ourselves to admit that the news actually is really bad right now. I mean, we all know, it's no big secret, that there's this virus that has spread all around the world. Whether you actually have it or not, it's affected each and every single one of us. We're now up to over 1,754,000 cases of this virus around the world. It all started in one little place, and it spread around the entire world. As a result, our economy here in the United States has come to a grinding halt. Millions of jobs lost. Many families not knowing how they are going to be able to pay their bills and feed their families. It's bad news. And not only that, but all the suffering and the pain that people are dealing with. I think most of us have somebody that we're connected to. We do have somebody that they're connected to that has been directly impacted with this disease. And there's so many people suffering and dying and dealing with this. And we can't unsee the mass grave in New York, where they are just filling that hole full of bodies. It's bad news. It's bad news right now. And I'm here to say that it's worse than you think. Yeah, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's worse than you think. Scripture tells us that the bad news is actually a lot worse than what CNN and Fox News are telling you. Here's what Scripture says in Romans 5. See if this sounds familiar. It says that when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yeah, there's something else that has spread through the world. Death itself has spread through the world, and you and I have it. It's not contagious. You can't catch it. You're born with it. It's genetic. And look, I'm not talking about physical death. That's not what the Bible is exactly talking about either. I'm not just talking about physical death, because physical death is not the worst thing that can happen to you. Physical death, that's just the moment when the soul leaves the body. I'm talking about, and I believe the scripture is talking about, spiritual death. I'm talking about the fact that you and I live and breathe in a kingdom of death. Death is just what you get in this world. And spiritual death has affected all of us. All of us are directly impacted in some way by spiritual death. And this death, it holds you down. It keeps you from being everything that God dreamed for you to be. It holds you down and it gives you these symptoms. These are symptoms of death, hate and lies, cheating, insecurity, fear, hopelessness, jealousy, shame, lust, anger, gossip, depression. All of these are just some of the symptoms of death, the symptoms of the real bad news. And the real bad news is this. It's the first blank if you're following in my notes. It's that the grave already has you. The grave already has you. It's bad news for all of us. The grave has impacted us and affected us in some direct way. We all have these symptoms. And don't worry, the bad news gets worse. As if this death that we currently kind of live in, walk in, deal with all the time, as if this wasn't bad enough, Scripture talks several times about a second death. Not just this death, but there is another death, a worse death that is coming. Multiple times God speaks to us of this second death, this eternal, ongoing, agonizing, painful suffering, living forever trapped in death. Yeah, he's talking about this second spiritual death. The Apostle Paul described it for us when writing to the church at Galatia. Here's what he says. He says in Galatians 5, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. He says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Living in the patterns of death means that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. God himself, speaking through John the apostle, said it this way. He says, cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers and liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. In other words, when you follow the patterns, when you actually walk in the patterns of death in this life, the result is death instead of the next life. Maybe a better way to say it is this. It's the next blank on your page. The better way to say that is death leads to death. Death leads to death. When you walk in the patterns of death in this life, the result is death instead of the next life. So the bad news is really bad. It's far worse than we could have imagined because it impacts all of us. All of us deal with this. All of us have this death gene in us, and death leads to death. It's really bad news. It's not just death, but it's second death. This is bad news. And this news is worse than any polarized political system. Right? It's worse news than any horrible recession that we might go through. It's worse news than any pandemic that we might be dealing with. It may even be worse than Peeps. Can you get a shot of this? It may even be worse than Peeps. I mean, how could anything be worse than Peeps? Have you seen these things? This is demons encased in sugar is what this is. There is nothing worse in the world than this. Satan has had his field day when they created these evil, evil things. Bad news. Bad news. It's bad news. So the bad news is bad. It's not just a little bad. It's real bad. It's not just death. It's second death. It's bad news. But listen to me. Listen. When the bad news is really, really bad, that just makes the good news even better, doesn't it? Yeah, and we believers, we have the best of all news. Right? We have the very, very best news that there is, better than the economy turning around, better than the pandemic going away, better than your sick relative being healed, better than all that. We have the absolute best news. Our best news stands defiantly against the devil's worst news. It stands defiantly against this death kingdom's worst news. You know, the government doesn't have the best news. Business and the economy doesn't have the best news, but the church, the body of Christ, we have been given the absolute best news. And we today celebrate this wonderful, good news. The Apostle Paul was more excited about it than anybody. And he was so excited about this best news that he wrote about it over and over again in letter after letter to all of his people. Here's the way he talks about it in 1 Corinthians. He says, I passed on to you what was most important. So he says, this is the most important thing right here. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. So he's excited to pass on the good news that Jesus died. That's where he starts, that Jesus died. And that may not exactly sound like great news, right? Another death to mourn. But I assure you, Jesus did not come to die and be mourned. Next blank, Jesus came to conquer. He came to conquer death and sin. So Paul goes on, Jesus died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. So he wasn't just dead, but he was raised again on the third day. Jesus conquered death. He conquered sin. He eliminates it. He walks out of it. It does not work for him anymore because he dominates. He wins over death. He conquers it. It was his decision. Here's what Jesus says about it in John 10. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. He died in your place and in my place on Good Friday, and his death completely canceled your debt of sin because he paid it in full. Let me say it another way. These are the symptoms. These are some of the symptoms of death that we show, and we believers, even we still show some of these symptoms of death. You and I do. I mean, there's times you've been afraid. Right in the middle of all this bad news, there's times you've worried, you've been afraid of what might happen to all of us. There's times when you felt hopeless about it, locked in your house for weeks on end. There's times when you felt shame. You've been ashamed of yourself. You've lived in shame. You tried to cover and hide. Some of us deal with anger issues. Even as believers, I struggle with anger issues sometimes. Dude, I know some Christians can gossip. I know some Christians can gossip. Sometimes we deal with some of these symptoms of death. And here's the thing. Remember, death leads to death. When you follow the patterns of death in this life, it leads to death instead of the next life. Right? But Jesus has already experienced death in your place. He already died for you instead of you. And what this means for me and for you is, next blank, is that the second death does not apply to you. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, that second death does not apply. You get a bye on that, and you get to experience life instead of death. Here's the way Paul says it to the church at Galatia. He says, now you are no longer a slave, no longer a slave to sin, no longer a slave to death, but now you are God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. His heir. Now you're not just a sheep in his flock, but you're also a co-heir with Christ. You now inherit the life of Jesus, the abundant, powerful, life-giving life of Jesus. You no longer have to do what death wants you to do. Now you can walk in power and in victory. Now you are an overcomer because of what Jesus has done for me and you. Now you can walk in confidence and in trust in him no matter how bad the news gets. Jesus says this, he says in John 10, he says, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy, but my purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. Yeah, he wants to give you, another translation says, abundant life. He doesn't want you to just barely squeak by. He wants you to have a rich and satisfying life. Now listen, that doesn't mean that you won't have struggles anymore. It doesn't mean that you won't have problems anymore. It doesn't mean that you're still going to have trouble paying all the bills and dealing with your spouse and working with your kids and dealing with your boss and all that stuff. It doesn't mean that. It just means that you've got something much more powerful than all of that. It means that you live in this death kingdom, but you rise above it because you follow Jesus, the giver of life. Here's what Jesus says in John 16, 33. He says, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. And because Jesus has overcome, you can overcome too. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when you follow this giver of life, rather than following the patterns of death, you become an overcoming, victorious child of the King. He fills you with his spirit, and he gives you the experience of his power and his presence in your life, and you rise above the death circumstances of this world. John says in 1 John 5, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Yeah, you will have trouble in this world, but you will experience powerful, abundant life. I think about my friend Barry Farlett. He's a real integral part of our body here at the Orchard Church and a good friend. And Barry loves Jesus. He's followed Jesus for a long time, but the doctors have diagnosed Barry with a very extremely aggressive form of cancer. I think he's been diagnosed with just about every kind of cancer that you can think of. And for years, he's had to struggle and go through treatment, chemotherapy, hospitalizations, home, hospitalizations again and home. And he's had to deal with pain and suffering. Recently, the doctors told him that he may not have very much longer, and he is currently, as of last week, undergoing the most aggressive round of chemotherapy of his life so far. Barry's in a lot of pain. He's hurting so much. I went to see him at his house a couple of days ago. He couldn't even come out of the bed. I couldn't go in because we're keeping social distance, so I didn't get a chance to talk to him. He's suffering so much that he was stuck in that bed. Barry is dealing with terrible circumstances, and the voice of death wants to yell and accuse Barry and say, Barry, if you really belong to Jesus, Barry, if you really are a child of the King, why doesn't he save you? Why doesn't he cure you? Why doesn't he fix your circumstances and make everything better? Why doesn't he just save you? Hey, isn't that what they yelled at Jesus when he was on the cross? If you're really the Son of God, then let him save you. Right. But you know who has overcome? Jesus has overcome death, and Barry is an overcomer also. I don't know anybody that has a deeper, more abiding faith in God, a deeper, more abiding trust in God's plan for his life. I don't know anybody that can look chemotherapy like this in the face and smile and say, God's plan is better than my plan. God's plan is better than the doctor's plan. And Barry looks at it and says, I will trust God. When you come to Celebrate Recovery on Friday nights, you'll see Barry here, and he is smiling and blessing people and encouraging folks and quoting scripture. That's just who he is. He is not going to be knocked down by the circumstances in his life. He is going to stand and overcome, and he can because Jesus has overcome. This will not defeat you, Barry, because it couldn't defeat Jesus. You have already overcome it, because even when all the circumstances of this world are saying, stop trusting, God can't fix you, you have the faith to stand and say, I will trust him even if he doesn't. That is overcoming victorious faith. That is the best news, standing defiantly against the death kingdom's worst news. What I'm trying to say is that Jesus didn't die to fix your problems. His purpose isn't to give you health and wealth and happiness. He isn't here to give you a new job, bigger house, younger wife, stronger husband. He's not here to help you win the lottery or to cure your illness. He's not here to make your kids come visit you or to wash your car or fold your laundry. Jesus is not interested in being a genie that will pop out of a bottle and give you all of your wishes. Here's the truth. Jesus didn't die to fix your problems. He rose to fix you. His goal is to cleanse you and to make you new, to restore you to himself and make you into everything he dreams for you to become. So he rose to fix you. He doesn't make your circumstances strong. He makes you strong so you can stand despite your circumstances. Jesus gives you ears to hear and eyes to see that you serve a much bigger, much better king who rules a much bigger, much better kingdom and has a much bigger, much better plan for you. That's what abundant life is. Follow Jesus, the life giver. Follow him right out of that grave. Leave the death kingdom and step into the abundant life that Jesus rose so that you could have. When you step into following him, when you begin to walk in his pattern, surrendering yourself to him and following him, here's what Paul says to the church of Corinth about us. He says, we will not all die, but we will all be transformed. He says, it will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown, for when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and those who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. All this means that you do not have to be a slave to sin and death. You do not have to be held down by that bad news, by that grave anymore, because the truth for you, because of Jesus, is the last blank, that no grave can hold you.
cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no between death and life. There on a tree, the Lamb of God was crucified, and he went on down to hell. He took back every key. Out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. Oh, oh, if you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out.
Wonderful job. Good job, everybody. Amazing song. There is no grave that can hold you down. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you move from death to life. And I'd just like to invite you, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, if you've never taken that first step of following him, that first step is called, the biblical word for it is repentance. It's turning from your old life, turning from those death symptoms, and turning to him saying, I won't trust in what I see around me anymore. I won't put my faith in the circumstances. That news is too bad. I'm going to trust in you. Even though I can't quite see you yet, even though I can't quite put my hands on you yet, I'm going to trust in you. It's repentance and faith. That's really the steps of starting to follow Jesus. Would you be willing to take that step today? I'd love to lead you in a simple prayer of repentance and faith that will help you take those very first steps of following him. So I'm just going to ask everybody to bow their heads with me, and let's just all pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner. That means I'm broken. That means I'm dead, and I need you. Father, thank you for loving me, even though I've been unlovable. Thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. God, as best as I know how, I surrender my life to you. I'm not going to trust in my circumstances anymore. I just want to trust you. God, I know I need life. I want to walk out of this grave, so I know I need to change, but I can't. So I need you to please come into my life, change me, make me new. From this moment on, I'm yours. I'm never going back, and I know I'll never be the same. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer with me for the first time, my staff and I would love to know about it. We'd love to be able to pray for you and to support you any way that we can. We just want to help you get your walk with Christ underway. So would you let us know about it today? Just go to our website. It's theorchard.life. That's theorchard.life. And right on the main page, you can click on the purple button that says respond. That's our digital response card. You can complete that and just check the box that says, I turned my life over to Christ. And we'll get that information and we'll be praying for you. And we'll be here to support you any way that we can. We'd love to get you plugged into a life group. We'd love to help you understand the basics of what it means to walk with Christ. So just let us know about that and we'll be praying for you today. God bless you and thank you for listening to this podcast episode.